Chapter 3. On our way back to Holmes' house, he told me what he did in Irene's house, and he said, "I couldn't get the photograph, but I know where it is. Irene Norton showed it to me." "That's very strange. Why did she show it?" "Well, when she saw the smoke in the room, and when people shouted fire, she rushed to her secret cupboard. She took the photograph out from a drawer in it. You see, when there is a fire, women usually try to save the most important thing in their lives, their baby, their jewels, or their cat. Because there was no fire, she'd put it back in the same place, and she left the room quickly, but didn't come back. I wanted to get the photograph, but a maid came in the room and sat with me. I told her that I was feeling better, and I left the house." "But it was still a very good plan, Holmes," I said. "You are so clever, and you are a great actor. I thought you really fell and hurt yourself." Holmes laughed and said, "I had some wet red paint in my hand. When I threw myself down on the ground, I rubbed the paint over my face." "And you hired those people in the street, didn't you?" I asked with a smile. "Yes, I paid them enough money," said Holmes. "They played their parts very well. Now, let's talk about tomorrow. We'll go there again early in the morning when Irene is asleep. The king must come with us too." "Why do you want the king to come?" I asked. "He must take the photograph himself. Then our job will be finished." "Let's go at 8 in the morning before Irene Norton wakes up." At that moment, we were in front of Holmes' building. We stood at the door for a while because Holmes was searching his pocket for his key. Just then, a very young, thin gentleman appeared behind us and said, "Good night, Mr. Sherlock Holmes." Then he walked away quickly. "Who was it? I have heard that voice before," Holmes said quietly. We both looked down the street, but we couldn't see him. There were many other people on the pavement. I stayed at Holmes' flat that night. The next morning, the king arrived while we were having breakfast. "Have you got the photograph? Where is it?" he asked impatiently. "No, I haven't yet," answered Holmes. "We will go to her house now, and you'll get it yourself. I know where she is keeping it." So we got in the king's coach and rode to Irene Norton's house. On the way, Holmes told the king that Irene Adler married Dr. Norton. The king was shocked. "But she loved me. Why did she marry him?" he said in an angry voice. "Aren't you happy that she is married now, Your Majesty?" asked Holmes. "You won't be afraid of her anymore. There will be no scandal in Europe." "That's true," said the king. "Now I can marry Clotilda with no problems." The king was silent until we reached Irene's house. When Holmes rang the doorbell, the old butler opened the door. "Mr. Sherlock Holmes?" he asked politely. "Yes, I am Holmes," answered my friend with a surprised look on his face. "Miss Irene Norton and her husband left London on the 5 o'clock train to Europe. She told me you were coming here." Holmes was very upset. "When are they coming back?" he asked. "Never. They are going to live in Europe." "So it is not here. She took it with her," the king cried out angrily. "What am I going to do now?" "We'll see," said Holmes. "Maybe it is still here." He quickly walked past the butler and went into the sitting room. He walked to the cupboard and opened a drawer. There was an envelope. I could see the words, "To Mr. Sherlock Holmes," on it. Holmes tore the envelope open. There was a photograph and a short letter in it. It was a photograph of Irene alone. She was in an evening dress and looked very beautiful. Then the three of us read the letter together. It said, "My dear Sherlock Holmes, you really did it very well. I really thought there was a fire, and I really believed that you were a nice old gentleman. But when I heard that there was no fire, I began to think clearly. My friends warned me about you before. They told me that the king could hire you to get the photograph, and they gave me your address. I am an opera singer, so I have had acting lessons. So, wearing a man's costume is not new to me. Well, I followed you to your door. I wanted to be sure that you were really Sherlock Holmes. Then I said goodnight to you at your door. The king need not worry. I will not show the photograph to anyone. I am keeping it. I love my husband, and he loves me. He respects me. The king can have this photograph of mine if he wants to. Truly yours, Irene Norton, formerly Adler. After reading the letter, the king said, "What a clever woman! She would be a great queen. It is too bad she is not from a royal family. I just had to leave her." "She is very clever indeed," repeated Holmes. Then he said, "I am sorry, Your Majesty, that I could not help you." "It is all right, Mr. Holmes," said the king. "Indeed, you were very successful." "I'm glad you think so," Holmes said, "but I tried so hard to get that photograph for you." "Do not worry about it, Mr. Holmes," said the king. "There is no danger for me anymore. I am sure she will not show it to anyone or use it for a bad purpose. I trust her words, and I know you did your best. Now, I would like to reward you for your efforts." And he removed his emerald ring from his finger and handed it to Holmes. But Holmes didn't take the ring and said, "Your Majesty has something more valuable for me." "What is it?" the king asked curiously. "Please tell me." "This photograph," answered Holmes. "Irene's photograph?" the king cried out in surprise. "You can keep it if you wish." Holmes was very pleased and thanked the king. "Now, may I wish you a very good morning," he said, and bowed. The king shook our hands, and we set off for Baker Street. Since that day, Holmes has spoken about this woman with great respect, because she was cleverer than himself. He still keeps her photograph, and when someone mentions her name, his eyes sparkle with admiration.